Shabbat Shalom and welcome to this week's Living Torah. And wow, here we are, the hills of Samaria behind me in the distance. I don't think you could see it. It's not quite today. It's a little hazy out there right now. But behind me over that hillside right there, I think it is. Yeah, that's the right shoulder. Would be Jerusalem. And so, the city of the great king. And we'll be talking about his kingdom here in just a few minutes. Not quite as fiery as I was last week. Friday night, I started getting something. I don't know what it was. And by the way, I'm sitting on the most uncomfortable rock in all of Israel. But I started getting something Friday night. And by Shabbat, during the day, I was feeling pretty bad. I taught this Torah study on Shabbat. And then by Sunday was, really real bad. And then Monday, and so today's Tuesday. We're getting ready here for Yom Kippur. But I spent about 3 days in bed, just really, really sick. And I won't go into the details because they're not that good. But I'm on the mend, doing pretty well. I can't hear real good. My ears are kind of stopped up today for some reason. But got Yom Kippur to heal up, and then we're back to work. Last week I mentioned to you that we were going for a record. Well, we made it. One day we got it, I believe it was 23 tons of grapes in one day. Now, how do you do that? That was a record, and that record is set now. The old record was like 21 tons. And that was set with 100 people more than what we have on the hill, on the mountains right now. So we watched the sunrise with grapes in our hand. And the last grapes we were pulling off, it was harvesting by Braille because none of us could see anything. You were just kind of in there trying to figure it out, and hopefully you weren't going to clip your fingers or the fingers of somebody that was harvesting with you. But it was awesome. So I think we're at 149 tons of grapes right now that have been harvested. What do we got left? We're estimating, just in one vineyard, probably another 110 tons. So for all of you that are waiting to come here and you're waiting to work, well, guess what? We've got a lot for you to do. So come with a good pair of gloves and come rested up. You're going to need it because we're going to be working. But the work that is done is hard to describe. I tried to last week a little bit. It's just hard to describe being out there in the middle of these fields and knowing that you're being such a part of prophecy. The other day, I think it was yesterday, when I was laying in bed kind of wincing around in pain a lot and various things happening, I was considering for a while, what is it about the grapes? Okay, why are we up here in the hills of Ephraim? Isaiah 61:5, you could look at that, and you could look at all kinds of different scriptures about the grapes and the vineyards of Samaria and the foreigners and various things. But there was something more. And I went back to, in my mind, I just went back to a teaching that I did many, many years ago on Messiah ben Joseph, Messiah ben David. And the teaching of the last, 25% of the book of Genesis is given to the story of Joseph. And so, considering that there's that much of Genesis that's given to Joseph, maybe there's a lot there, maybe there's a lot of stuff in there. And so it all of a sudden hit me that at the last trip, when Joseph, he had not revealed himself, he sends the brothers back to, and you can read the story. I'm not going to go into the whole story, but he sends the brothers back. And before he sends them back, he puts a goblet, the silver goblet, in the pack of Benjamin, Binyamin. Now, I'm here in the line between in the area of Manasseh and Ephraim. And right behind me, right over those hills, would be the area of Benjamin, the area that he was given as an inheritance. So, what is it about this goblet? And does it have anything to do with us being here harvesting these grapes and pruning the vines when that time comes? And I think it's, to me, it just became very, very clear. See, in the book of Jasher, and I don't take all of Jasher as you know, absolute. I don't pull it up to the place of inspired or anything, but I think it's got some good teaching. That it says in there that Joseph had actually revealed himself to Benjamin before he sent the boys back. That there was a very special relationship that he had with his youngest brother. And so it says in the scriptures he gave him extra clothing. When it came time for meals, he gave him five times what he gave the other boys. You know, this was a hungry little boy here. He's not so little anymore. But in that, the last key, before Joseph is going to reveal himself to the whole family, is he put a goblet. And what would a silver goblet contain? It would contain wine. These grapes are what the wine comes from. So I see a correlation between these two. And I feel it's something that should show us just how close we are. Just how close we are to the days of Messiah, to the millennium. It's approaching. And I know that you know, we have a lot of interesting things that are going to happen between now and then. That's all going to be irrelevant one day. All of those bad times are going to be irrelevant. Check the news this morning, and you know the guy from Iran, he's saying that Israel has no roots in the Middle East. It's hard to stop stupid, isn't it? As John Wayne would say, Israel has no roots in the Middle East. How absurd. And there would be people in the United Nations that would believe that. There'll be people in leftist countries and leftist persuasions that would say, oh, that must be true. I tell you, I've been looking around and I see the signs of Israel, the roots of Israel, all over the land, all over this place. God willing, next week we'll actually be going to Jerusalem. And we'll be next week to go to the city of David and to take a walk through the tunnel that leads up to the old city. And, Israel has no roots in the Middle East. And of course, this person went on to say that he believed that Israel is going to be annihilated. I don't think so. I'd like to remind him of a few different places like Egypt. A few different people like Haman, Antiochus Epiphanes during the time of the time of Hanukkah. No, Israel's not going to be annihilated. But those who lift their hand against Israel, they will be annihilated in the end. So I just I see there's a prophetic significance there, another one, of the reason that we're here in the hills of Ephraim. And I heard it again today. We went to the village of the Samaritans. In the village of the Samaritans, they looked at us. The high priest was actually there in the museum. There's pictures of the website on our website. A few pictures there of our time there. And so he even said, "This is the days of Messiah." You know, everybody is looking for Messiah. It doesn't matter. It's the Samaritans. It's the Jewish people. It's us. Everybody's looking for Messiah today. I wonder why. Are we all just so deceived and crazy that we've all lost our minds? Well, I guess that could be true. Or I guess maybe we could be right. That the time of reconciliation, the time of the goblet in the pack of Mashiach ben Yosef being revealed to a family. Could that day be upon us? You know, we're seeing in these hills reconciliation. I mentioned to you last week to go and read the scriptures of John chapter 17, what is called the high priestly prayer of Yeshua. And he prayed that they may be one. And I told you that's coming to pass right in front of our eyes. In a few hours, as I said, we'll be going into Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a time of reconciliation. And, you know, how do you reconcile? How do you reconcile two people that are estranged from each other? Do you send an email? Some do, but it's not going to really have, in my opinion, it's not going to have the same amount of power that, you know, you call the phone. Some would, but again, it doesn't have the same meaning as face-to-face. I had a speaker come last night. I was actually in bed trying to recover. But this speaker, he's a Jewish man. He just opened his heart and spoke to the group about how difficult some of this is. Some of this of having us here. And the relationships that are being forged in this area. And he told the group, he said, how difficult it is for him to embrace this right now. Oh, he's doing it, but it doesn't make it easy. And he said this phenomenon, and that's a word that they use, but it is used over and over and over again around here. This phenomenon of people like us, you and me, that are in Israel, face to face, with our Jewish brothers and sisters. I'm not here to, you know, to make them like me. And they're not here to make me like them. We like each other, but I mean the same as each other. To be here for just a few moments, to meet some of the people, you just fall in love. Your heart just goes, I can't describe it. Some of you that have been here, some of you that have worked with, some good friends of mine, Dennis and Tirsa D with Hands to the Land, and I shouldn't mention anybody because I'm going to leave a bunch of them out, but you know, you've come over and you've volunteered with all kinds of different groups here, and you've been here on tours, and you know what I'm talking about. You get here and it's like, I've never met these people before, but they're my brothers, they're my sisters, they're my family. As Yeshua was talking about, as we taught in those scriptures last week, those that do the will of Hashem. And so I'm not trying to make them, you know, accept my beliefs, and they're not trying to make me accept theirs. My beliefs are between me and Hashem, and so are theirs, and that's okay with me, and that's okay with them. For right now, we've got to open a dialogue and get some conversation going so that we can be reconciled. And I think that the goblet, to me, just when that just kind of flashed through to my mind yesterday, it just hit me really, really hard. Now, here we're coming into, in just a few days, a time of Sukkot. And this week we'd be in Matthew chapter 13. So I'm just going to give a kind of an overview, really, of Matthew chapter 13. And then, God willing, next week, hopefully, next week I'll be in the middle of Sukkot. Who knows? We may just put something out. I've got a couple of surprises coming for you, hopefully, along the way as we're running through some of this. So I'm working on that. Stay tuned. Same time, same channel. The kingdom. Chapter 13 of Matthew. Matthew is all about his kingdom anyway. It is the one book of the Gospels that is written specifically about Mashiach ben David, Messiah ben David, the Messiah, the son of David, and goes through all the lineages and all of these things, and it talks more about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. I've lost my water bottle. There it is. It is hot out here, by the way. Seems like it should be cooling off a little bit. In the mornings, it's really cold. It's getting down, especially up here with the winds. But Matthew specifically talks more about the kingdom than any other of the Gospels. Matthew chapter 13 says more about the kingdom than any of the other chapters in the book of Matthew. So, let's think of the kingdom. You know, we talked about this, I think, a number of weeks ago, these difficult words for us. When we think of a kingdom, what do you think about? We really don't. You know, in how I grew up, and how probably most of you grew up, we've never lived under a king. For most of us, I mean, you know, in I guess Britain, you have a king and a queen. In Belgium, you have a king and a queen. And when I was in Belgium, I was told, they're kind of figureheads, you know. You just parade them around. It's like in Great Britain, you parade the queen around during the time of the Olympics or when it's her birthday or something, you know. Oh, speaking of birthdays, by the way, last week I wished my wife a happy birthday. It was actually our anniversary. But I'll be here when it's her birthday, too, so I've got it all covered, okay? So this thing of kingdom, we don't really know what it's about. And you know, the word kingdom, king, dom, kingdom, kings, dominion, you have a choice of being one of the two, either being the king or being part of the dominion. In his kingdom, the resume, the job app for king, there was only one resume submitted, and come to find out the job description and the job was taken already. He was already the king. So you can't, there's no way to come into the kingdom of God and say, I'd like to apply for that job. It's not possible. So we can apply to be part of the dominion. But the word kingdom brings up all kinds of crazy things, doesn't it? Because we think of Saddam Hussein, or the king of Jordan, which would be right over those hills over there, or the king of Egypt, or we think of a dictator. We've never, that I know of, in modern history, I can't think of any king that's had a positive influence. A king that's really, that's put his dominion first. As Yeshua says that, talking about the servant is greatest. And that we need to be, that he came not to lord it over, to rule over, but he came to serve. He came as a king that would serve. We don't have a box to put that in, but that's what he is going to be. That's what he's going to have. It's going to be a kingdom that the king is going to have yours and my best interest at heart. It's going to be that he proclaims the Torah throughout all the world. And that Torah will go forth from where? Right over my shoulder, Mount Zion. The word will go forth from Jerusalem. Tommy, in talking to the group here, he gets on us all the time about this. You know, if you have a concept of his kingdom that does not include Israel, you have no clue what his kingdom is all about. Because his kingdom is one that is ruled and reigned from a specific place. And that place is Jerusalem. It's not Washington, thank God. It's not New York. It's not Amsterdam. It's not Johannesburg. It's none of those places. But his kingdom, when it is set up, it is going to be like it is going to be right here in Jerusalem. Sukkot is a time that we come together to rehearse. That's basically what it is. Somebody called it a fire drill the other day. I like the word rehearsal. You know, many of you this weekend will be making plans to go somewhere and celebrate Sukkot. In fact, a couple of you listening to me, this probably the moment this video hit the website. My wife normally listens on Shabbat. She said I couldn't wait this week, so as soon as it came out, she listened to it. But to Kathy and a couple of other very good friends, you know, you're making plans to get on a plane, and in just a few days from you watching this, that's your view that you have out your bedroom window. I know you're excited, but many of you, you know, this is not for you to be here this year. There's just no way you could make it. And you're going to observe Shabbat or to observe Sukkot somewhere. You know, it may be, well, there's Sukkot's all over the world, you know, these days. And so no matter where you're going, I challenge you that as you're there, there's going to be a lot of people. And I know this because I've been to some Sukkot's that are like this, that there's a lot of people there that are disconnected from this land here. There's all kinds of talk about the last days and the end of time and the tribulation. And there's all kinds of talk about getting prepared and those things are all good. I mean, I've taught them. But at some point during your time of Sukkot, when you're sitting around those campfires with people, to the best of your ability, focus it. This is your assignment. You focus. Say, you know, guys, we're here in Oregon or Virginia or somewhere. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be incredible? What's it going to be like when we're in Jerusalem for Sukkot? What's it going to be like when His kingdom is set up? Have you thought for a moment that when His kingdom is set up, that we will be in Jerusalem? Where's your heart at today? No matter where your Sukkot is, our heart should be in Jerusalem. I was sitting around a table just a few minutes ago. We just came back from the Samaritan village. We went to the museum there. That's what happens when you can't hear real well. You can't talk good either. We went to the Samaritan village, and it's really, the Samaritan people are very, very interesting. The high priest at the front, they had the Shema, the whole Shema written out in their Bible there, and it was, see, they still use Paleo Hebrew. And this guy is chanting from Paleo Hebrew. He's chanting the Shema. I'm going, now that was cool. We went to a tahini factory, and it was kind of interesting to see how that came together. I forgot where I was at, actually. I just got back. We just got back, and we sat down to have lunch. And thank God I can eat a little bit right now. So I had a rice cake with hummus, tomato and cucumber, and some peppers. It was great. Rice cakes. I can't believe I just said that was good. But we're sitting there, and I heard somebody to my right talking about, she says, you know, it just dawned on me. She says, I was just, not too long ago, she said, I was just listening to Monty Judah. And hopefully, if somebody's going to be at Sukkot with Monty this year, how about getting this back to Monty? That in Israel, they were talking about him. And here's what she said, and this was what was so funny. She says, you know, Monty teaches that when the tribulation starts, that where you're supposed to go is the last place that you celebrated Sukkot. She said, I like that. I'm in Israel for Sukkot. I'm right here. Can't think of a better place. So when the tribulation starts, I'm coming back here. And I had to look over and just start laughing because I hadn't thought about that really. I don't know if I've ever agreed with Monty's teaching on that, but I sure pray that if the tribulation starts right after this Sukkot, that I'd be able to come right back here and be right in the heart of it, right in the midst of it. So I challenge you this year to wherever you're at, wherever your Sukkot is, make Jerusalem your chief joy. Read the scriptures. You know, Isaiah 122, read the scriptures of when they came back from Babylon. And just, you know, make it a point maybe here in this Shabbat prior to going to Sukkot, that you write down a few scriptures about Jerusalem that you can go to Sukkot and you can sit and you can share about the importance of Jerusalem. Because it is said this is Israel, Jerusalem, is a place that he always has his eye upon. Just to sit here. To be looking around at the view. I wish I could give you the whole view here. I can't. To look around at the view that we see on a daily basis. I wake up. Walk out of my room, and the first thing I see is the lights of Jerusalem. Go to bed at night. We watch the sunset every night. Out over the med, over Tel Aviv. The whole day, the rest of the day, is made up of putting your hands to prophecy, of looking face to face at our estranged brothers and sisters, and seeing the walls of division come down to walk. I mean, today we were in the Samaritan village, and you know, I don't agree with the Samaritans and everything. They've got some, you know, they're the offshoot of Jeroboam, but they've got some good things. But to be in one of the, you know, I've been in both of the places that it says that it is believed that Yeshua, John chapter 4, the woman at the well, that we were standing today in Samaria. And it says that Yeshua had to walk through this area. Actually, he would have walked kind of on this road behind me. And walked down this area and came up onto these hills. And as he was up here on these hills, he met this woman. He taught her about Torah. He taught her about walking in spirit and in truth. He taught her about Jerusalem. He stayed there for 2 days. Or standing there where Yeshua walked, some of the same rocks still to this day, you know, exposed, who knows. Think back to the first time that I came here, 1998, and I prayed. I asked the church that Shabbat, or that Sunday prior to leaving. I had no idea what Shabbat was back then. Well, I was getting to know. At least I knew the word. But I prayed that I asked him to pray that I would receive two things when I was in Israel. Number one, I would be able to walk in the soil that Yeshua walked on. Number two, I'd feel the heartbeat of my Jewish brothers and sisters. 19 trips now. Again today. In a new area, the place of place I've never been before. I walked on the same soil that Yeshua walked. And for 2 weeks in the land, I've been able to feel the heartbeat of my Jewish brothers and sisters. What do you say to that? Kind of leaves me speechless. Which I know for a lot of you, miracles do happen in Israel. That's what you're thinking. So, that's kind of the teaching for this week, okay? I've got to get this in the computer and everything and get it loaded up before Yom Kippur. But I just want to spend a few minutes with you and kind of lay this out a little bit of you know, kind of some of the things that we've been experiencing here. Some of the things we're doing, the money that you guys have sent, and Kathy's bringing more, it's going to the right places. We've got quite a bit left, but I'm going to be here for a while, so it's going to the right places, and it's helping. It's helping in ways that cannot be explained. There's an old saying of putting your money where your mouth is. Well, I've been able to put your money where my mouth is over here. Face to face. Reconciliation. The goblet. I think the goblet is... flies. The goblet has firmly been placed in the pack of Benjamin. A remnant. Benjamin has always been taught as a remnant of people that would get it first before the majority ever saw it. That's you. That's me. That's these people that are living around us right here. They're seeing it before everybody else is. That kind of pulls it together for me. So with that... Most of you, like I said, be getting ready for Sukkot, and I pray that no matter where you're at this year, whether you're at in Oklahoma, you're in Oregon, in Virginia, South Africa, Ireland, I'm trying to get rid of this fly, all over the world now, there's Sukkot's happening. I pray that you would have an incredibly blessed Sukkot. That it would just be a time that you would just, His presence would be all over it. But I pray that in the midst of your Sukkot, there would be a longing for His kingdom. And you would get a grasp and be able to relate that to other people, that kingdom. It's here. It's not somewhere else in the world. It's here. The King is coming right here. So with that, Shavua Tov. Have a wonderful, blessed, prosperous week. And God willing, next week I'll have a couple of surprises for you on video. And whatever, we'll see what happens. All right? See you then. Yivarechach Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha Yisa Adonai Sem lecha shalom.